From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Luke chapter 4, we'll begin reading verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want you to focus on that first part of the verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me. I want to preach on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I know as we talk about these subjects, many have been stolen and taken out of context by the Pentecostal movement, but this is still Bible terminology. You know the story and the context here. The Lord Jesus Christ is being revealed. He reveals Himself there in the temple, which angers the people because of His claim to be the Messiah. But here's what He says: I am anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. We know the Holy Spirit is symbolized by oil in the Scripture. When we talk about anointing, the anointing is the power of God to accomplish God's will, God's purpose, regardless of the sphere of your ministry. Go with me to Exodus chapter 25. And we're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight, so I want you to keep your Bibles open. I want you to understand this very important subject. We in this generation, New Testament, born again, children of God, indwelt by the Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit as the temple of the living God. Look what it says in Exodus 25, verse 3. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold, and silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Here's what you're going to see as we go through the Scripture. That everything in this temple was anointed, sanctified, set apart for God's use. God wasn't going to let even the smallest utensil go into the temple without being anointed, because this was God's dwelling place. Go with me to chapter 30, verse 22. Let's see the spices that were used for the anointing oil and the sweet incense that came as an offering before the Lord. Verse 22, take thou also unto thee principal spices. Now look at the list. Pure myrrh, 500 shekels. And of sweet cinnamon, half so much. Even 250 shekels. Of the sweet calamus, 250 shekels. And of cassia, 500 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary. And of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. An ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be, what's it say? Let's read it together. It shall be an holy anointing oil, symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What are they supposed to anoint? Verse 26, thou shalt anoint the tabernacle, the congregation therewith, in the ark of the testimony, the table, and all his vessels, the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Do you see what God is doing? It wasn't that the wood or the table or the ark in and of itself was holy until it was anointed with the purpose of sanctifying it and setting apart for the service of God. This is now God's utensils. This is now God's furniture. This is now God's tabernacle. It's been set apart. This is set apart with what purpose? Verse 29, thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Somehow God wants to get in our hearts and minds through Old Testament symbolism that God has a purpose in anything in life, no matter how small or how large, can be sanctified by the setting apart and by the holy anointing that makes it most holy. Let me ask you this. Why was all of this anointed? And then in verse 30, we're going to come back and read this verse, but we'll read it now. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. He said everything in this place must be anointed because I want there to be a clear understanding. This is set apart. This is sanctified. This is for the master's use. This is where God dwells among men. Now, you remember when Jesus Christ came to the earth, born in a manger, the wise men came. Christ himself was sanctified, God in the flesh, upon the earth, anointed by God. But what did they bring? Myrrh? Frankincense? What did we just read that was used in the anointing oil to anoint the temple, the tabernacle, and everything therein? Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Look what it says in verse 38. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus. So everything that has to do with God's dwelling upon the earth, someone that is going to be used with a divine purpose, even Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Everything in the tabernacle was anointed with that most holy oil to sanctify it and to set it apart. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Did you get that? You know what that means. We've read enough Old Testament scripture to understand now there is no tabernacle, there is no temple, there is no Ark of the Covenant. Now God dwells among us and in us, and we are the tabernacle, the temple of God. We are His dwelling place, which means we have to be anointed for Him to dwell there. He's made it very clear that everything in that tabernacle, everything had to be anointed in order for Him to inhabit it, anointed and set apart and sanctified. And He said, now that you are God's dwelling place, you have the Holy Spirit, that is oil, that anoints you. Now, here's what we think of often as the anointing. He has the anointing upon Him, thinking of a specific service. He's anointed to preach. For the Pentecostals, He's anointed to be a prophet. That's a twisting of Scripture. We know there's special anointing in the Old Testament for priests and kings. But what does the Bible tell us in Revelation 1:6? We are made kings and priests. Even more reason we're supposed to be anointed. Now, in this matter, we don't have a choice. God said, because I want to sanctify you, set apart, inhabit you, in order for you to be my tabernacle, in order for you to be my dwelling place, you must be anointed. You have to be sanctified, set apart for the master's use, or I can't dwell there. The anointing is always connected with one of two things. It's what God is doing in us or what God is doing through us. This is about God's glory, fulfilling His purpose. We were created for His glory and purified for His purpose. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. How did he do that? Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know how we've been anointed at salvation? We receive the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, you know, it wasn't that I chose to be anointed. You did at salvation. You just didn't know it at the moment. You didn't have all your doctrinal ducks in a row. You didn't understand what was to come. But you got the Holy Spirit. And he anointed you. And God said, I'm going to do this for you because I'm going to indwell you. You are my temple. You are my tabernacle. And I must anoint you and sanctify you and set you apart in order to dwell right here. So we know the first purpose of anointing is sanctification, which is a setting apart to God from the world. Christian, you better understand this because God says, I'm not making this anointing optional. You don't get saved and then say, you know what, I understand what comes with becoming the dwelling place of God, and I understand the purification, I understand the distance from the world and the holy living that's required of me. I don't want the anointing of God. I just want heaven as my destiny. I like the Bible as my book, a little bit that I can pick or choose, but the whole holy. That's why God gave you the presence of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit wants to produce holiness inside of you, sanctify you, set apart. Let's go back to Exodus for just a moment. Chapter 28, verse 41. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. What did that anointing do? It consecrated, sanctified, set them apart. You say, that's Old Testament. No, it's not. It's Bible principle. Go to Romans 15 for those of you that are yelling, that's Old Testament. I'm not a priest. You're a child of God. You are anointed by the Spirit. Romans 15, 16. Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Here it is. Being sanctified, set apart, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you why we talk about the despicable act of Nebuchadnezzar. Because when he destroyed Jerusalem, he also ransacked the temple and he took those anointed, that everything that was anointed in the temple, and he brought it to Babylon for use that was totally heathen. Sacred vessels. Those cups that were used in the temple were now being used to drink wine, used in parties. God said, it looks like a simple cup to you, but that cup has been anointed with oil, sanctified, and set apart. Christian, if you understand it, salvation, whether or not it was by choice, you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you received the indwelling of the Spirit, you became the temple of the living God, and you were anointed to be sanctified. And God says, those ears, those eyes, that mind, those hands, those feet, that's all been anointed. Every inch, inside and out, has been anointed. Don't use that for any other purpose other than the purpose that would honor and glorify me. We wouldn't want to grab anything out of that temple or that tabernacle and use it for fleshly or carnal purposes. And God says, because I indwell you, don't you use anything in my tabernacle, in my temple, for fleshly or carnal purposes. it has been anointed with holy oil. And listen, when they took that oil and they mixed it together, and God says that's holy, and they put that frankincense and that myrrh and all those other things together, they mixed it together and anointed everything in the tabernacle, everything in the temple. There's no way they can make it as holy as the person of the Holy Ghost. That was symbolic. You have been anointed with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Before you put your eyes on that, before you set your hands on that, before you walk over there, before you read that, before you allow that into your mind, remember, you have been anointed, sanctified, set apart. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He knows he has been sanctified for the master's use. Go with me to Exodus 30:30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them. Now look at the next phrase. That they may minister unto me. So anointing didn't have just to do with sanctification. It had to do with service. You were anointed, set apart, to serve a specific purpose. Go with me to chapter 40. Exodus 40, verse 15. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father. Let's read the next phrase together. That they may minister unto me. One more time. That they may minister unto me. You thought that just happened to pastors and assistants, Sunday school teachers. The Holy Spirit has anointed you to minister. That means you're supposed to be serving God. I have no way to avoid this. I don't get to pick and choose. I have been anointed. God did this for me because he wants me busy serving. You know what God didn't do? God didn't anoint 10% of the born-again believers for service. That's what the average church believes. Guess what? Back row, front row. With talent, without talent. 6 months saved or 16 years saved. You have been anointed by the Holy Ghost to minister in the temple. That's what the Holy Ghost is there inside of you for. So when you back up, here's what you're saying. I'm acting like someone that's never been anointed. I'm acting like someone that's never had the Holy Ghost. I'm acting like someone that is not the temple of God. So this whole matter of anointing has been misconstrued. Too many misconceptions. God said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to seal you with the spirit of promise. I'm going to give you the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. We like all that stuff. And then he says, my anointing means you've been sanctified, set apart to minister unto me. Now you've got to get the first part to get the second part, because he doesn't want you ministering until you understand you're supposed to be set apart and sanctified first. Hard to minister when you're doing something that's not sanctified. A lot of Christians know they've disqualified themselves through their behavior. Christians, we're supposed to live such a way that others can respect us and so that God can use us. Look what it says in Leviticus 10, verse 7. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. Go with me to Numbers chapter 18, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing. Aaron, I have assigned you these duties. I have told you to minister because I have specifically anointed you to serve. Hey, you say, well, preacher, that was pretty selective in the Old Testament. You're not living in the Old Testament. You're not an Old Testament saint. You may not be much of a saint at all. You are living in a different dispensation, a dispensation of grace. Oh, praise the Lord for the grace of God. What you don't understand, with that grace came the Spirit's indwelling. With the Spirit's indwelling came sanctification. With the Spirit's indwelling came the anointing for you to serve and to minister, which means you're going to have to get up off the pew. Make a decision. I'm actually going to do what I've been anointed to do. Can you imagine Aaron in the tabernacle? Bring me a hymn book. I'm ready to go. There was work being done. You know how much more work would be done in the house of God if we all understood that we had a holy anointing, which means you have more than a command. The minute that oil was poured over anything, the laver, the candlestick, anything in that temple, everyone knew that is serving a special purpose. So you have been anointed to serve a special purpose. What is it? It should be very visible that you're fulfilling your purpose. Set aside, sanctified, and now serving. Look what it says, 1 John chapter 2. An anointing is not just for sanctification, not just for service, it's also for sight, in order to help us see. 1 John 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Some of you say, my husband must have the unction. He's convinced he knows all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Look what it says in verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide. You know why God gave you the anointing of the Holy Spirit? So you would learn the mind of Christ. Now, if you've been anointed, Christians, there's no way you should stay ignorant of God's mind. Sometimes I speak to church members. There's a faraway look, a disconnected cable, a misunderstanding of Scripture, a lack of acknowledgement about Bible principle or the Christian life. If you have a Holy Spirit inside of you, you ought to be able to fill yourself with that book and get on the right page, God's page. Get on the right path, God's path. Have the right desires, God's desires. Yes, sir. God wants to fix your mind, and He's enabled you so that can happen through the unction of the Holy Ghost, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I get concerned when someone is saved and doesn't get baptized, because that Holy Spirit wants to change your mind, and you're going to want to get in that tank and identify yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been given the unction of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to tell someone else about Jesus. You're going to want to read that book. You're going to want to live like God tells you to live if you have the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But occasionally you find a Christian with a blank stare, either resisting the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, when He wants to enable your mind to comprehend the mind of God. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? How many of you got saved and all of a sudden, so many things you used to believe overnight, you stopped believing? You know what happened to salvation? It changes your perspective. It changes your point of view. It changes your principles. What you used to do and believe and say in the crowd you used to run with, when the Holy Spirit connected that cable and turned the light on, suddenly you're going a totally different direction by the unction of the Holy Spirit. So here's what God does. He does us a favor of salvation. I'm going to anoint you to sanctify you and set you apart. I'm going to anoint you so you understand you have been set apart for my service to minister in my house. And there's a problem. I have to anoint you because your mind is not capable of accomplishing my purposes. It's humanistic. It's socialistic. It's anti-biblical. So I'm going to give you the unction of the Holy Spirit so you can see things the way I want you to see them. Understand things the way I want you to understand them. Otherwise, your sanctification and your service has no purpose because it would be all for you, your mindset, your direction, your purpose, and not my glory. So he said, I've got to start with a mind because you may be willing to serve. But you're not helping me with that mind. Until you understand the Word of God, your service has no purpose. Aren't you glad for the anointing? Yes. Go with me to 1 Samuel 9:16. Specifically, in the Old Testament, we see men anointed for a special purpose, and those two classes of people were kings and priests, which God has made us both in this generation. 1 Samuel 9:16, we see the anointing of Saul. Look what it says, verse 16. Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. Thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people. God has anointed us with his Holy Spirit to save people. We know about the sanctification. We know we've been set apart. We know service is included in that. God's changed our mind, given us a new sight, allowed us to see things as God sees them. But with what purpose in mind? It's about a lost world. Saul did not accomplish God's purpose. He messed it up. Served the flesh, did his own will, rebelled against God, tried to put a spiritual face on it, lived as a rebel. Now, Christians, here's what's so sad. Many, many Christians get 1, 2, and 3 and never understand the whole purpose of that anointing came down to point 4. So I'm set apart. I'm sanctified. I'm living a holy life. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't smoke. I don't dance. I don't go to Fifth Street. I'm in the house of God. I help with the ministry. I'm involved in the music. Clubs is my favorite place to be. The Christian school is where I give all my time and energy. I'm set apart. I'm sanctified. I'm ministering in the house of God. I've allowed my mind to be conformed to the mind of Christ. I see things now that I didn't used to see. There's only one problem. That's not the only reason. The priests and the king were anointed to save men. Save kingdoms. Save God's people. So if you have the anointing and you're living a holy life, God says there's still something drastically lacking here. I gave you the Holy Spirit and I anointed you and I set you apart and I'm thankful that you're ministering and I'm so glad the Holy Spirit has developed in you the mind of Christ. But this is all done so that you can focus on saving men. Why was Christ anointed? For the Son of Man came to seek. That's why he was anointed. One purpose, one life, 33 years, all ended at Calvary, the resurrection, sitting at the right hand of the Father, all done with the purpose of seeking and saving. You've been given the Spirit of God, which means you've been anointed with the most precious and holy of all oils. The Holy Spirit indwells you. God said that was all done with a purpose. You didn't get to choose. You of your own free will said, Christ, I'm asking for forgiveness of sins, eternal life. I'm sorry for who I am. I want you to change me, forgive me, rescue me. And God poured oil at that moment all over your heart, mind, body, soul, and gave you a spirit that was anointed. And he said, now I'm going to let you figure out what that was for. It was all done on purpose. Don't be one of those that we look back in history and say, that was a wasted anointing. Never realized the purpose, never fulfilled their purpose. You know what our churches are full of today? God's anointed. Very few make it past the sanctification. Even a smaller crowd makes it to service, to minister. Even a smaller crowd truly ever gains the mind of Christ. And then as we whittle down the crowd and the numbers, we get to a very small group that understand the anointing is about the salvation of men's souls.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.